we've just read The Life of No Regret from our service books. And to put this into context, it is the verse, as Dharmavidya said a few weeks ago, it's the verse that Dharmakara spontaneously recites when he meets his teacher for the first time and he makes his vows to become a Buddha just like his teacher, with all this wonderful poetic and mythic language. But I just wanted to think about the title that we use in English, The Life of No Regret, which is taken from the end of the poem. I'll keep my practice growing through all without regret. And I want to think of it from two sides, if you like. The first is how thinking about a life of no regret can help us think about enlightenment or what it means to be a Buddha, this kind of ideal way of living. And the second is the realistic sort of the complications and ordinariness of our lives and how we fail in living a life of no regret. So what does it mean to live a life of no regret in terms of Buddhism or in terms of being a Buddha? It means being completely free of karma, is another way of saying the same thing. And you can think of it in your own lives. When you make a decision and you say, oh, I didn't regret that, I'm glad that I did that thing, it felt like the right thing to do, even though the outcome wasn't perfect, or maybe the outcome was perfect, it was the right thing to do, even though when I went and took my neighbour some food because it was a cold winter and my friend said, oh, you should just look after yourself first, which is a thinly disguised example of something that happened to me. I offered somebody who was sick some food and everyone said, oh, they're not sick really, they just want you to go, they just want you to look after them. But it felt like the right thing to do, and in that situation you could say that regardless of what the outcome was, whether they were actually sick or they weren't actually sick, I felt like I'd acted in good faith. So that was a moment of being without regret. So in this way, once you do the act, ideally a compassionate act of course, you then let go of any need for any results. So this is what it means to be without regret. Because if you're attached to the idea of, oh, when I do this action it will work, or when I do this action it won't work, if you're invested in something working, then if it doesn't work or it doesn't come out exactly as you've got pictured in your mind, you'll regret it. So to live a life of no regret is to be able to put things into the world with a kind of recklessness about how they come out. So you do something for another person, for another being, you make an offering without any regard as to how it's received. You could also say on another level you have some faith that because you've offered it in a good spirit there will be some impact, but this is the kind of acting without karma completely. So a Buddha is always behaving like this. Whenever somebody comes to them, they make that person an offering without being attached. They want the other person to become better and to become more awake, but then they're not. There's one way of thinking is that they're not attached to the idea. They can hold that lightly. So that's one way of thinking of a life without regret. But even you can see even in that example, actually, when I say somebody comes in front of the Buddha, there is some desire for the other person to become more awake. And actually, I can think of stories where somebody came before the Buddha, and when, in my reading of them, it feels like the Buddha is regretful that they didn't become affected by his words. In the story of Ajasattu, the king who imprisoned his father and eventually killed his father, he then much later on came to the Buddha for teachings, and the Buddha gave him a teaching, but he wasn't stirred, he wasn't moved by those teachings, and he went away again. And the Buddha said to the monks that were there, it's a shame that he killed his, if he hadn't killed his father, he would have been able to hear what I was saying to him. And the sense is, he was so wrapped up in I'm digressing a little bit, but I just had to. He was so wrapped up in the kind of guilt of having killed his father that he was unable to hear what anybody else was saying to him. And my sense is, perhaps just because I'm an ordinary human, that when the Buddha says this to the monks that were left over, in my imagination, I hear some regret in his voice. So it's a shame that he killed his father. And that seems like quite a natural reaction to me. So you can see that Dhammavijja says every teaching has a shadow. So you could say the shadow of not being attached to anything, actually, is that you fail to be affected. But there is also wisdom in not being attached to results and being able to put something in the world without any regard for how it affects. So this is some of what it means to live a life without regret. In terms of how that manifests, because the world isn't perfect and we've only got a limited time, and we do make pictures of how we like things to be, we do get regret. And I wanted to think a little bit about maybe being a little bit more realistic, because there's a sort of in society or in the world, it's very easy, and I know this in me as well, to want to please everybody, not let anybody down. And in this, the side effect of not wanting to let anybody down is that you can become somebody who doesn't do anything or doesn't say anything in the world, because there's so many different people with different points of view. If you say anything at all, it's unavoidable that you end up hurting somebody or letting somebody down. And when you live your life, when you attach that life to a particular philosophy or a particular meaning, or when you take up a particular religion or a particular art practice, or you become a baker, you make a choice. When you give your love to another person, you make a choice. And in making one choice, it stops you making other choices. So there's a sense that whatever you do, even if it comes from the best place, it's going to end up being a violent... Any loving act also has a violent side effect, because if I commit to living with one person, then I'm not living with somebody else who feels quite fond of me, for example. Not that they, not that I know of anybody. So that's the sort of human side of it, is that we do reach out to people and we do make offerings to people, and as a result of that, probably some people are going to get hurt. And so there is, I think, there can be, although we talk about the life of no regret as being the Buddhist ideal, and that you put good things into the world without being attached to the outcomes of them, actually there is also a sort of very human sense of regret sometimes, that when you make one action, when I leave the Buddhist community that I was living in, then good things can happen here, but I'm no longer supporting that community in the same way, and so some people have feelings around that, for example. So there's a very sort of, there can be a very tender quality to regret, but what the teaching of living a life of no regret is saying, okay, life can have that tender quality, but you can compound that if you become fixed to not upsetting anybody, or fixed to your actions having a particular shape of result in the world. So the Buddha maybe does have regret when somebody doesn't hear what he's trying to teach them, but also he's able to move on quite, without too much difficulty, so that when the next person comes in front of him, he can offer them something completely cleanly without being worried about what's just occurred. So this is a little bit about what living without regret means for me. And you can see, if you live it in this way, that when you look back at your life, you can say, actually, that was okay. I'm quite happy with those things that I did. And I suppose if you think this sheds another ray of light on what it means to live a life of no regret, if you think of somebody lying on their deathbed they might say, oh, I really wish I hadn't made that decision, or I really wish I had made a different decision in that situation. So the other side to living a life of no regret is not simply to do with not being attached to the outcome of the decision, but also to do with actually which choice did you make in that moment? Did you feel like it was the right choice? And you could say that somebody who's perfectly enlightened, somebody who's a Buddha, is really listening to their heart. And when their heart says the right thing to do is go and offer this sick person a meal, regardless of what your friends are telling you, you go and do it. There's a kind of faith in, Iris Murdoch calls it, it's good to be good. You know, there's a faith in actually, as long as I do what my heart's telling me to do, then when I get to the end of my life and I look back, I'll be able to say that I lived a life of no regret. And if I can do that and hold the outcome of those things lightly, then that's the ideal combination. So I follow my heart in that it's saying, make an offering to this person. And then I'm able to hold the results of that lightly, however they receive it, gratefully or ungratefully. That's the kind of ideal picture that we're talking about. And sometimes that does have a sense of regret in a different sense around it, that you might be sad that it wasn't received gratefully, but you sort of have to accept that that's okay, it's part of life. People won't always receive everything that you offer, and you can move on to the next thing and follow your heart again and not be attached to the results. So today anyway, those are my thoughts around what the title means to me. Namo Amida Buddha.
Namo Amida Buddha.